preaching here for some time now. I thank God for it. I thank God for a church that'll keep on going no matter what happens. Yeah. And praise the Lord for that type of mentality, that type of conviction that we need to have in our hearts today if we're going to be effective for the cause of Christ. And so praise God for Brother Larson, Mrs. Larson. I've known him for a long time. I think the first time I met Sven was, he was probably, 17, 18 years old. Just a young whippersnapper, you know. And Patty, we traveled, you know, in a singing group together and all of that. And we've got some stories, but we'll just kind of defer on that for now. Because of time, but it's a blessing to be here, and I thank God for this church. I appreciate the support, helping us, maintaining, keeping us on the road, preaching the gospel. And, you know, the devil, I mean, he's trying to do everything in his power to stop the gospel from being preached across this country and to have the revival that we need to have in our hearts, in our lives. We need an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-filled revival. Amen. We need revival. And so that's the, that I'm sure that's one of the purposes for this meeting, to get the preachers revived. And how's the church going to be revived if the preacher's not revived? Amen. And get the preacher fired up and the people fired up. And so thank God for this meeting and God landed on the pastor's heart. And, you know, to have that vision, a vision, and to reach people and to be an encouragement to the man of God. I've been traveling around the country preaching now, but it's about 38 years preaching and preaching revival and all of that. And so we need revival. I'm telling you, neighbor, and especially after COVID and all those things. I mean, that's just the devil. Trying to stop the church from having the impact God wants it to have. But this morning, I'm going to read some verses out of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we know that, you know, this book was written to the church of Philippi by the Apostle Paul. And he's up in Rome. He's in prison going through a bunch of things and trials and what have you. And one thing about the Apostle Paul, you know, even though he went through a lot of struggles, he just stayed true to the gospel. He stayed true to the gospel message. And he battled all sorts of things. I mean, he had mental anguish, physical problems. Three different times he asked the Lord to relieve him of that thorn that he had in the flesh. But through all of that, you know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't allow himself to get down or discouraged or distracted from God's will. So many people today allowing things to distract them. We get distracted by things. And so get our eyes off of Jesus. Then we can start looking at all the people, all the problems and things of that nature. That is the work of the devil. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, notice his admonition there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. The Apostle Paul, he went to this church, Philippians, Acts chapter 16, and preached the gospel. There were people saved. And the Philippian jailer got saved. And the prisoners got saved. Other folks that got saved. Bible mentions Lydia, a seller of purple there. From Philippi, receiving the Lord as Savior. So out of that nucleus of people, they started a church. And it was a good church. It was a gospel-preaching church. It was a going church and reaching people. It was a growing church. And it was a glowing church. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. And you had to have a glowing church. Praise the Lord. And that's the fire that the pastor was talking about. In a lot of churches today, the fire's gone out. The fire's gone out. And then what happens when the campfire goes out? And, you know, it just kind of smolders. And it just blows smoke. And that's what a lot of these churches are doing, smoldering and blowing smoke. Amen. Now, pray, don't believe the King James Bible. Don't believe in evangelism, reaching people. And so the Apostle Paul, encouraging these folks here to be steadfast. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And that's what we need. Amen. That's what I appreciate about Brother Larson and others. They're staying true to the old paths. They're standing fast. Amen. It doesn't say stand slow. It says stand fast. Amen. And to be diligent about the Father's business. And we ought to do that. We ought to be diligent and to be faithful in the preaching the gospel and reaching people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He goes down through here and we see kind of a theme that he's given here. Verse number 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 10, he goes down. And the Bible talks about, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And then it talks about, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, admonishing this church and giving them the gospel, encouraging them to continue on, to be steadfast and unmovable. And what's going to allow us to do that is having a right relationship with God. Yeah. Amen. You've got to maintain a good relationship with the Lord, walking with God every day and spending time with the Lord. And God wants to use us that way if we're to be steadfast. Amen. I like people that are steadfast. My dad's in heaven. My mother's in heaven. But they got saved back in 1974 and took a bus route and worked that bus route going into Minneapolis, picking up those boys and girls, bringing them to church, visiting them every Saturday, bringing them every Sunday to hear the gospel message. 37 years. Amen. Amen. Faithful in reaching people. And there's still people in our church. There are adults now that rode my dad's bus. And that's really where I learned to serve the Lord, was working on my dad's bus route. And I thank God for that steadfast type of spirit. Amen. Amen. My home pastor was there for 35 years and pastored that church. Then I went to Oklahoma and I went to the Windsor Hill Baptist Church. Dr. Jim Vineyard pastored that church, I believe, for close to 35 years. And those men were instrumental in my life, my mentors. Amen. One kicked me out of high school. The other one kicked me out of Bible college. But I still call them my mentors. I guess I deserved it. Praise the Lord. Amen. But thank God for that. But examples to us to be steadfast. Amen. And have that relationship that God wants us to have. Don't let the devil destroy your joy. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy your joy. He'll do everything to diminish your effectiveness for the cause of Christ. And he does it through different things, causing you to get discouraged about things, problems, you know, pressures of the times, of society, people. Sometimes the devil will use people to try to discourage you. Oh, listen, we need to be steadfast. And we need to maintain that joy. Don't let the devil destroy your joy. Amen. And so the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture, in verse number six, be careful. Be careful for nothing. And so you want to have that joy so you can be effective for the cause of Christ. We need to do everything in our power to make special time, significant time, where we can meet with God in prayer. People don't take the time to pray. We're not praying today like we used to pray. I remember at 16 years old hearing John R. Rice preach. How many remember, know who I'm talking about when I say John R. Rice? All right, the old timers, amen. It's come some of the youngsters here. But, you know, he was editor, Sword of the Lord. He was the one that originated it, came out, used to come up, preached in our church, him and Dr. House. And I remember a message, hey, praise, the main sin of the church today is the sin of prayerlessness. And that was back in 1974, 73. So you can imagine where we're at today. Who's with me? Amen. Who have we been spending time with God? Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to pray. God wants us to communicate. God wants us to talk to Him. Amen. And so, you know, when I start traveling on my own, I got my kids' cell phones and things like that. And I said, I'll give you these cell phones so that you can stay in contact with me when I'm on the road and things such like. And so they would text me. And I'm not a good texter. I've got these Scandinavian, Norwegian, Viking hands. I got stubby fingers. They're not made for texting. They're made for punching somebody in the head. Pounding the pulpit. That's what they're made for. And I just said, don't tell me, don't tell me. Well, Dad, why not? Wait, text is easy. I said, don't text me. I said, you call me because I want to hear your voice. Yeah. I can kind of tell what spirit, I can kind of tell what attitude you're in just from the sound of your voice. Oh, listen, that's what God wants to hear, our voice. Pray out loud. Amen. And God wants to hear us pray. God wants to hear us call upon Him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. He didn't say text unto me. That's the New Age version, amen? That's the woke version of the Bible. Text unto me. And, you know, God likes to hear our voice. We've got to pray and have that confidence in knowing that God's going to hear and answer our prayers. That's what it means to rejoice in the Lord. It means not to lose confidence in God. Don't lose confidence in the Lord. Have that confidence, have that trust, have that commitment, have that type of spirit that God wants you to have. Amen. In order for you to have an impact for the cause of Christ, in order for you to maintain that joy that God wants you to have, we've got to be in prayer. It helps us to maintain a positive type of attitude. Notice the Bible says, I can. Amen. Doesn't say I can't. You know, that's the problem. Too many quitters today. People quitting left and right all the time, throw it in the towel. Little problem comes and they quit on God. Who with me? Say amen. Amen. And God doesn't want us to be quitters. He wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God, having the right relationship, falling on our face, praying like old Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And they come to throw him into prison. And the king said to Daniel when he was the next morning, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able to deliver thee? And he cried out, I believe God. Even in the den, he didn't lose his confidence. Amen. Don't lose confidence in the Lord. And it's important, even Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. Amen. And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that whatsoever we ask according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Why are my prayers getting answered? Well, maybe you lack the confidence. Amen. How important it is to have that confidence. You know, it's good to have friends and things, and you know, especially when you're out in the battles and fighting the enemy and all of that, you want to have confidence in knowing your buddy's going to be right there with you. Amen. And so that's the joy. That's the attitude. I can. And don't get I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't read my Bible every day. I can't pray every day. That's the devil. And you're losing confidence in God with that time of spirit. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, God meant it unto good. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. I'm not going to lose my confidence in my God. Amen. Who's with me? Amen. Amen. And especially in this day and age, which we're living, churches just aren't having revival, and they're so afraid, you know, of gathering and having one service a week and all sorts of things. Still going on today, 3-4 years after what's happening with the COVID virus and all of that. Mark it down, people. people have become discouraged. They've lost their confidence in God. They don't have the joy. They let the devil destroy their joy. Pray and practice. Who's with me? What does it say? To do all things, but also, you read down here, Apostle Paul said, and he said there in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and at their last your care for me hath flourished, again, wherein you also are careful but lacked opportunity, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And God wants us to be diligent in serving Him. He said, I can do all things. Amen. Amen. It's talking about the will of God. Amen. That's God's will. The very thing God's called you to do. And He'll give you the tools, the treasure. He'll give you the talents and the technique. Amen. He'll use your personality and has designed you in such a way as a tool to put you exactly in the place where you need to be used for the glory of God. God has called Brother Larson to be the pastor here, not me. God has called me to be an evangelist. God has called Brother Davis to be an evangelist. And the Bible talks about different areas of service and having the church have the strength that God wants it to have through the people that have recognized their place. Yes. Right. As a servant, as a tool, as a child of God, doing the will of God, being obedient to the things of God. Amen. Yes. Amen. My mom and dad got saved, got on the bus route, start serving the Lord right away to do all things. Amen. Amen. And to be faithful to the cause of Christ. Amen. And back in 1982, I got my heart right with God, and then I started preaching, and I started to do everything. I wanted to do everything. I sang in a choir. I taught at Sunday school. I worked with the youth. I'd go to the jail on Tuesday night. I wanted to be a Christian that was diligent about the Father's business. Amen. Amen. To do all things. And so we've got to have that mentality. We've got to have that mentality. People today, and that's why we don't have bus routes anymore. That's why we don't have Sunday school classes and things like that. People don't want to serve the Lord. They don't want to do. They just want to sit there. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But that's it. We've got to get busy. Jesus is coming again at any moment. And I don't want Him to find me just sitting around sulking, licking my wounds. Amen. Oh, listen, let's be that Christian that has that confidence, and that's a Christian praying and practicing, has the power of God to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. Now, the arm of the flesh will fail you, but that's what everybody's doing. Everybody's using the arm of the flesh. You know, what happened to old-fashioned preaching? And old-fashioned door-to-door. What happened to all that? Well, no, we're not the arm of the flesh now. We got all this technology to do it for us. Now, I'm not opposed to technology, you know, as long as we still have, you know, quarter pounders with cheese, Big Macs, Whoppers, and things like that. I'm not opposed to technology. I'm glad I can go inside and use the bathroom. Amen? But, listen, how easy it is to get lulled to sleep through technology. It can't replace preaching of God's word. Being in the pew, hearing the man of God preach, watching his face turn red, watching a spit fly from his face. You can't experience that sitting at home. Who with me? That's right. That's old way. That's old time way that God used. And what happened? Oh, listen, that's when the church had power. When the church was sitting on, you know, it was a storefront, sitting on metal chairs, didn't have air conditioning, didn't have all the technology, didn't have radio, didn't have all that. But there's an old stem, wine, and leather, long hellfire, brimstone preacher. Amen. And there were people that were willing to serve the Lord. Oh, don't lose confidence in God. This day and age, it's easy to lose confidence in God. You put your confidence in man. You put your confidence in money. You put your confidence in material things, and you think that's going to bring you joy. It's not. Prayer, practice, the power of God. That's what will maintain the joy of the Lord. Don't let the devil destroy your joy.